Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
That's scary, right? 4 o'clock hours here. I was just talking about some of our text responses to our buddy Steve Kim, and also LeBron carrying the flag for USA in the opening ceremony. We're getting strong reaction on that. Alex, about 45 minutes ago, Alex White is with us, was saying, why so much hate? And I'm like, well, let the texters tell you. They can give you, whether they dislike him or not for these reasons, they can tell you the laundry list of why people don't like LeBron. And in turn, I think there's going to be a lot of people mad. There'll be a lot of people today and tomorrow will be heavily trigger material on social media talking about LeBron and how anti-American he is. I'm not saying that, but others do. And Steve Kim was just joking about patriotism. Actually, I don't think Steve was joking, so I'll take that back. It was not a joke. That's how he feels.
When he said that LeBron's not really the one to bring everybody together,
yes.
He's not in his top 100.
He did say he's not in his top 100.
To do that. But I think that's a valid point, if that's the way you want to look at it. That if you're looking for somebody to, I mean, clearly, to represent the United States and to bring people together, but
I think you got to be really careful on that. You're going down a path that you might not be able to hold very consistent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as I joked earlier, LeBron's going to get a rash of crap for this when it's a high achievement to represent this entire country with the flag. And I was joking earlier, he you know, maybe later tonight he's going to be praying like, man, if they had a woman, please make it be Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
Because that'll go even over even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Could get nasty. All right, Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Well, we previewed National Ice Cream Day on Friday. It went down on Sunday. Looks like someone shares a brain with Danny Smythe in our hot topic of the day. First of all, did you know it was National Ice Cream Day?
I did not.
You just randomly sent in an ice cream topic?
Yeah.
Look at you. All right.
Well, it's July, you know, and so it makes sense that National Ice Cream Day is in July.
Okay. Was this a debate going on at the South Point?
No, it wasn't. But
knock down, drag out. Jimmy Vaccaro's like, I love the McFlurry.
No.
You came back. You're like, Blizzard.
Have not had
it. Get away from me.
I've just had a few good ice cream treats at the ballpark because they do have some of the best. So that kind of.
What's the star of the ballpark menu?
So, well, they do have Dippy Dots. No, they have Dole Whip, which is a favorite.
I actually had one of those. No. I'm totally confusing it with some Froze. I had some Froze at the Bananas game, which wasn't really the Bananas, but it was like, you know, banana light. It was good.
Party Animals,
yep. That's right. Against the Firefighters. Firefighters won. Wow. A lot of mistakes. A lot of defensive mistakes. Actually, they try to make it incredibly difficult to catch the ball, so. I'm not saying it's orchestrated, but it was entertaining, and the Froze was good.
And that's just on a time, right? After a certain time, that game's over?
2 hours. Done. They couldn't even get to the 2 hours. They moved along so quickly, then they had to, like, start kicking the ball around, make it a little more competitive. And then they finished, I think, an hour and 52 minutes.
Wow.
And I sat there, and I'm like, 8 more minutes of baseball! Or else! No, I was like, I have to get the hell out of here. Because that was one of the record-setting days. It cooled down in the evening to, like, 106. But the mesh chairs were very nice. Not a lot of back sweat.
Those mesh chairs are great.
There.
They learned from Cashman Field, that's for sure.
So I cut you off 12 times on the ice cream. So Dippin' Dots.
Dippin' Dots, Dole Whip. They have Thunder Cups. That's like the ice cream sundae. That kind of reminded me of this McFlurry Blizzard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
so wait.
A lot of good things out there.
Those are two different things.
And the
McFlurry or the Blizzard?
Well, they're very similar, aren't they?
I've never had a McFlurry.
What?
I don't know. Don't look at me like that.
Both of us.
No, I'm not a whatever. I never had one.
Not a big ice cream.
No, wrong. No, the traditional cone, the vanilla cone at the window is fine with me. Plus, I'm not getting on them because there's other companies who do it too. Once I get sort of artificially rejected repeatedly, I don't set myself up for disappointment. So there's so many times you pull up to the window and they're like, "Machine's out. Sorry." We're cleaning it. I'm like, it's 3 p.m. Well, you're cleaning it now. So once that happened at multiple spots, I'm like, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't want to spread bad rumors about whatever. Frosties or the place right up the corner, they do it to me often. They're like an Oreo cookie shake. I can't get it. It's probably good because I'm usually coming home at 2 a.m. and I'm like, hey, let me get this ice cream. And the gods are like, look at you. Don't eat ice cream at 2 a.m.
That's really funny. I have not tried to get a McFlurry in some time either. But there was a good year or so that was happening. But I'm with you. That ice cream cone, but I actually like it flipped over in the cup, but no hot fudge or anything.
God, I love ice cream.
Just that regular ice cream.
So good. So good.
Yes.
Danny Smythe said he was going to go to the Queen. And I don't know if he did. We'll find out tomorrow. Danny's going to be in his company. So you did not indulge on Sunday. You did not get ice cream on Sunday.
I had Dippin' Dots at the ballpark.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. So then you didn't even know it was National Ice Cream Day and you got it. I had, this is another tease ahead. Watch when I tell. This show's so entertaining when I bring up stuff like this. But Xavier Pope, one of our Thursday guests, believes that mint and chocolate don't belong with each other. So I had mint chocolate chip with Reese's Pieces at home. I'm very highfalutin.
Never had it with Reese's Pieces as well.
And but. I probably should have gotten one of those big mugs, like the 5-scoop mug, but I would die eating 5 scoops. So can't really do it anymore. But I indulged. I did it. I told you on Friday. I deliver.
That's two. Griffin, did you? Oh, 3 for 3.
He's voiceless right now. He may get a voice this week. We'll see. We'll see how he does. He's got a tryout this week. Number 3.
Number 3.
Okay, so we didn't get a chance to talk much about Jake Paul and Mike Perry. I mean, it was about what I thought it would be. I thought Perry could challenge him a little bit, but his stance sucked. His defense was terrible. He got TKO'd in the 6th round. And really, the fight is about what happens next, right?
Yes.
Did you see the message that Jake Paul threw out for Mike Tyson?
I sure did.
What did he say?
He said he loves him, but it's his sport now, that he's a legend, one of the two most famous boxers ever, him and Muhammad Ali, but he's going to take his throne.
If I could, I wouldn't want to gross you out, and I also don't want to dirty the studio, but if I could have done a lukewarm coffee spit take, I would have done it. Wait, what? It's my sport now? You have to admit, and I'm going to call him a kid, this kid is brilliant.
Yes. Well, and Steve Kim said it perfectly. I was actually going to ask him about this, but I mean, Jake Paul really hasn't proven anything yet. He keeps calling out MMA fighters, so we really have no idea, but everybody is so interested, and we just saw him knock out Mike Perry, thinking he can hang with Mike Tyson, which maybe he can at this age. We'll find out.
That's the
but
kid.
Now everybody...
That's the brilliance,
yep.
Is that he's walking the line in such fine fashion where he's like, I'm going to take down the king of boxing. He's 59. He's not the king of boxing. But here's the thing. I'm not going to get mad because he's making money. There's a public out there. If you guys want to watch it, that's awesome. If it is free on Netflix, like it was promised to be the first time around, I can't say 1,000,000%. I got to check the schedule. But if I can watch it, I'm going to watch it. And he's got Conor McGregor talking trash to him. Now, I mean, the buffoonery that's going on here. And they both, this is like, we talk about works all the time and bits, right? From wrestling. And that's what a lot of athletes do it, especially in the fight sports, and media people do it. Like, this is such a clash of works. They're just going to, like, climb up the ladder. You've got Jake Paul fighting Mike Tyson, talking trash to Conor McGregor, who's a real fighter. Then Conor McGregor came over the top over the weekend after the victory, and he's like, got to fight Nevada, where there's real testing. Wait, Conor McGregor is talking about testing? What is going on here?
Oh, my God. A lot.
Right?
Like you said.
This is I don't know, let's go circa 1989. And this is publicly, and they're on the same team, so they wouldn't do this, but like Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco talking about steroids and being like, you, like, guys, isn't there a Spider-Man thing where they're both looking at each other? Like, the meme, yep. Right? Yeah, guys, stop. I mean, I like it, Connor. It's funny, but stop. And, I'm not mad at him for calling out the special sauce, if there is, with Jake Paul. All right, number 2.
Number 2.
All right. Big weekend for Alicia Gray. That was kind of cool.
Very cool. First time ever in history to win both.
Are we angry about the details? Does it matter? We were told someone's putting up 55 grand. Because I think the monies for each one was only like 2,500 if you won. And then apparently the WNBA got the message and realized that is laughable when you've got potentially a $2.2 billion TV deal on the way and No one realized that giving them $1,000 for a win in this was super embarrassing. Come on now.
What are you saying? Now I'm I'm
saying they upped it at the last minute. On Friday, they announced, hey, we have a sponsor. I didn't know this was the deal, though. So who came in and gave Gray $55,000?
I believe it was Affleck.
Affleck.
Right?
So yep. it's actually an advertising deal.
So you're saying that's not fair to the other
No.
Basketball players who said they didn't want to participate and then
you're saying that. No, you're saying that. That's a great point.
So now she won both and other people are sitting there like, oh, there's a $55,000 sponsor in this?
I got on both Sabrina and Caitlin Clark for not doing what was best for the game. I don't often do that. Now, of course, I could also, touche myself on that and say, you know what? Between the Olympic team and some of the jealousy around the league, if Caitlin Clark's people are like, no, we're not doing a three-point shooting contest. But I think that is a really valid reason. Like, wait, I have some downside in this if I'm Caitlin Clark. And if I'm Sabrina, wait, I was in the NBA All-Star Weekend shooting against Steph Curry. Now I got $1,000?
Right.
What is this?
That, yes, for Sabrina, for sure. And then Caitlin Clark, maybe you're right. Maybe this is a little bit of her being humble and slowly stepping in and not wanting all the haters texting in about.
I mean, to me, there's a business side to it. If you're going to help build the sport so you can make more money for the league and yourself, $1,000 can't be the prize that's on the line. That is completely laughable. How that was even allowed to happen up until a day before the skills competition, the three-point shooting competition, is just absolutely ridiculous. And no, I was just mentioning, like, this is stupid, but I mean, I would take it into account. I don't know if you're, like, I don't think anyone is like an insurance company loyalist. Like, I don't know who insures your cars. You have lots of cars, by the way. And I don't know why I said cars. Who insures your car? I know who insures mine. Do I have any loyalty to him? No. If it's not Affleck. If Affleck came to me and was like, hey, we got a sponsorship deal, I'd be like, no, I respect so-and-so too much. I can't cross them. Like, I'm the one giving them money. So, dumb angle, but I was just thinking from a radio and advertising standpoint, it's really, really stupid. Don't laugh at me. Number one.
Number one.
There's a number one. Oh, there's a number one. Sometimes we leave the rundown blank. It's a mystery. Let me pull it out of the... No, we never talked about the victory by the WNBA All-Stars, and we'll build on this, over the women's Olympic team. I got to tell you, Diana Taurasi and company, no shot at a gold. None.
Whoa.
This is proof.
It is a little frightening here.
That was a joke. It was sarcasm. But,
okay.
But there are a lot of storylines you can build from. Hey, you told us you put together the 12 best in the country for the best team possible to win a gold, and then you lost to the All-Stars, who have plenty of good players that could be on your team.
I mean, my whole angle was they can't lose to them again. This already happened. It's not like they aren't going to be prepared and ready for them. And yet they found a way to lose 117-109 to Team WNBA. I think the biggest story, and we talked about it last week, Agumba Wale should be on that team.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Alex White, the company today. Griffin running the show. Grizzlies and Heat in the NBA Summer League Final. This means a lot. It means a lot. It actually does mean something in terms of player development. I don't usually go crazy over the Summer League, but I'm kind of enthused looking at the Memphis Grizz and some of the young players they have and the returning guys. And wanted to bring in Rob Fisher, who used to be here in Vegas doing radio a little while ago. I don't want to date you, but Rob, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. The NBA Summer League's been fun. It was a little weird with the top two picks weren't really known entities, but Memphis is one of the really good stories here, and I think a lot of people around the country have kind of given up on the Grizz, forgetting all the challenges they had to deal with last year. This group of young guys is pretty good.
Well, after what the Grizzlies went through last year, injuries and 38 different lineups that they used last year, which is just incredible. We kind of knew going into summer league that the Grizzlies should be the favorites to win this championship because they have guys playing who played almost half an NBA season last year. You know, G.G. Jackson played half a season last year. Scottie Pippen Jr. played half a season last year. And both of these guys named to the first team, summer league, all NBA team, I guess, today. So they've been there. Jake LaRavia played last year. Trey Jemison played last year. I mean, you had four of your five starters who were guys who were playing significant minutes and starting games in the NBA last year. So all you wanted to see was them come to summer league and look like they don't belong. And they've done that. They look like they don't belong, and they've been very good and playing for the championship tonight. So I think most Grizzlies fans were, you know, you don't get excited about summer league, like you said, but I think Grizzlies fans were excited just to see these guys because we saw them develop in front of our eyes last year on an NBA level.
Rob, let me ask you from a betting standpoint, the Grizzlies are a 3-point favorite. Do you think the Heat will be able to keep this game pretty close, or do you think Memphis can cover that three?
The Grizzlies have been pretty close in these games until the second half or until the fourth quarter when they've been able to run away with them. So I'd like the Grizzlies with that, just again, because they have the experience that Miami Heat doesn't, that they don't have. So I like the Grizzlies to cover that number for sure.
Rob Fisher is with us pre and post on TV for the Grizzlies, sideline reporter. Let's talk about some of the guys you mentioned. First of all, what a GG finish last year with a 44-point game. 6'9" dude, can shoot it. How real is he in terms of, you know, being a potential top-level player in the NBA?
Well, everything we saw was impressive last year, and the thing that we had to keep remembering is that he's 19 years old. And if he would have gone in the draft this year, who knows where he would have gone in the draft. I mean, some believe that he could have been the top pick in the draft this year. So he fell in the draft last year. Grizzlies got him at a good spot. They felt like they got a steal out of him. He wasn't really planned to play last year until all the injuries hit the Grizzlies. Then he was able to get in the lineup and start a lot of games for them last year. And I think what he showed is, I don't know, man. People will ask me all the time, what's his ceiling? And I don't know, because I don't want to under-evaluate him. But I think his basement is very high, and I think his ceiling is very high. And, I mean, he's a guy the Grizzlies have been looking for since they lost Rudy Gay, and that is a long time ago, an athletic wing that can score. And now they got him, and at the age of 19, you know, you wonder, the biggest question is going to be, how does he react this year when he's not getting those minutes, when he's not in the starting lineup? When he doesn't, he's got to do other things than just score, because he's not going to have those minutes to really put up the big numbers. So how does he react this year? How can he get better this year while his numbers are going to get worse? That's the big question with Gigi this year. But I mean, I think, you know, talk to me in 2 years and we'll see where he's at. But it's certainly encouraging when you got a 19-year-old who's putting up the numbers that Gigi put up last year. It was pretty remarkable.
Grizzlies and Heat, 5 o'clock today in Vegas over at the Thomas & Mack, final of the NBA Summer League. What about Scottie Pippen Jr.?
Looks like an NBA player. He's on a two-way contract, a two-year two-way contract. This will be his second year. I'd be surprised if he's not elevated to a full-time contract before this season is over. I think he's earned it. I think he's shown that he can play in the NBA. He's a very good defensive player. He's got a very high IQ. And he's fearless offensively as well. So I think he shows all the things that you want to see from a guy who'd be a backup point guard at this point in the league. And right now the Grizzlies at point guard, they have Ja Morant. Their backup point guard is kind of up in the air. I mean, Derrick Rose, I guess, is listed as their backup point guard, but Derrick Rose showed last year that he plays a game and then he's got to miss 3 weeks. You could have Marcus Smart back there. You could have Desmond Bain. You could have Luke Kennard, but if you want a true point guard, it's got to be Scottie Pippen Jr. He's got to be the number two guy, and if that's going to be the case, he's got to be taken off the two-way. So I would expect that possibly this year at some point with Scottie Pippen Jr., but I think the Grizzlies trust him, and I think they're very excited with what they've seen from him since they picked him up last year and signed him to a 10-day.
Number 9 overall pick, Zach Edey, Purdue star. A lot of people had question marks how his game would translate to the NBA. And I know he's being shut down now, middle of the summer, for summer league. But very impressive early start, wouldn't you say, for Zach Edey?
He had a great first game. You know, like I said before, I think when you get to summer league, you just want to see guys who don't belong in summer league. And I think Zach Edey's first game showed that he really didn't belong in summer league. He was just overwhelmingly better than the guys he was going up against. Had a monster double-double and a tip-in at the end of the game to send it to overtime, and had 4 blocks in that game as well. So did a little bit of everything you expected and you wanted to see from him. So didn't really need to see anything more from him. But then he goes out and he has a minor ankle injury. And then when that heals, he comes back and then he rolls his other ankle and he's out. So with Grizzlies fans and the way that things went last year, that's very concerning. We don't want any more injuries. We don't need any more injuries. But the good news with Zach Edey, 138 games at Purdue, he played 137 of them. And he missed one game because of COVID. So this is a guy who has been durable in his college career, and hopefully that's going to continue in the NBA, and these ankle injuries are just minor things that we won't have to deal with when the season begins.
With all that's happened with Ja Morant, I think the suspensions were stupid, but you probably know more about the story behind the scenes than I do. Where's the market in terms of the buy-in on Ja Morant? I mean, it's kind of tough to be completely committed to him, because is he going to be around and be consistent?
Well, you know, last year was a disaster with the suspension, and then he comes back, plays 8 games, and then he gets an injury, and he's done for the season. So that was just miserable. But I think there's a lot of – I think there's going to be – it's kind of the comeback of Ja Morant now. And I think Ja Morant's going to come back hungry to play. You mentioned earlier how people kind of forgot about the Grizzlies season last year. They've kind of forgotten about Ja Morant as well. When you see these lists of best point guards or best young players, and Ja Morant's way down the list, I think people forget what Ja Morant did in his first couple of seasons in the league. I mean, he was on his way to becoming the face of the NBA until some off-field, off-court problems hampered that development. But I think Ja's goal this year, and a goal for Grizzlies fans this year, is that Ja Morant is an all-star, and Ja Morant, by halfway through the season, has reminded everybody what he's capable of doing. All you have to do is look back and look at the videos of what Ja Morant has done in his career, and it's awe-inspiring. So you have to remember that, and I think we will be reminded of that when Ja Morant gets going this year. It's been great. He's been out of the news. He's been out of the public eye. We haven't heard anything about Ja Morant, which has been great. And now we just want to get him out on the floor and play some basketball, because we know what he means to this franchise. This team is very good, but they can't win a championship without Ja Morant.
Rob Fisher's with us at the Fish Nation up on Twitter. We got about 90 seconds left. I know you were over at SEC Media Day. What was the vibe? Was it different without Saban there? What was your general thoughts?
Well, it wasn't different, because Saban was there working.
That's a good point.
And everybody reminded us about Nick Saban. Every coach, it was like a farewell party for Nick Saban. It was kind of funny that it turned into a Saban, roast from all the coaches as the week went on. But that was interesting. The addition of Texas-Oklahoma was the big story of the week. But other than that, not much news was really made at SEC Media Days. I think everybody kind of kept it close to the vest this year, and didn't want to make any news at the podium, and they really didn't. So there wasn't much of a takeaway other than not having the divisions this year, I think, is going to make a huge difference, especially with the schedule the way it is. Nobody has an easy schedule in the SEC this year.
I wonder if we ever get back to 5 power conferences, which I think is a long shot. The Pac-2 are trying to put something together that's, exactly, you're laughing. But I do wonder, from a Memphis standpoint, again, our time's limited, but from a Memphis standpoint, are they still enthused about Memphis football maybe getting to a higher level? Can they buy themselves to the table? Because they got money.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I don't know. I think for Memphis fans, we've kind of given up because it seems like there's been every opportunity to get to a better conference, and it just hasn't worked out. Now, when is realignment and expansion going to end? Who knows? I think it's still far from over. It's just a matter of where you're going to go. Are the ACC teams going to bolt and go somewhere else? Are we going to have a Power 3 when it's all said and done? And if so, is there room enough for the Memphis Tigers? I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of hope, but every time there is expansion, people here get excited again. And yeah, we think we have everything here with the Memphis Tigers that would look good in a big conference. Just hasn't happened yet. And I don't know if there's much hope, at least from those here in Memphis.
Rob, we appreciate it. Everyone out there, make sure you check out the Grizz when they're on TV, and also Grind City Media. They're doing a lot of good work over there. Fish, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You got it anytime.
There he is, Rob Fisher. A lot more to get to. Believe it or not, I got a lot of Memphis material. Memphis in a lot of ways is like this market with their college football program, because they're on the outside looking in, and they would like to be on the dance floor, but our greatest hope now in this market is if they form that big 80 thing, which I can detail again on the other side, that there's like an 80 football school Division I. Otherwise, I'm not sure what's going to happen.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Rolling into the second half of the show. Griffin, producer during the breaks, like, aren't you getting juiced up for football? I'm like, yeah, yes. We're going to do some of the games of the year from South Point in about 10 minutes. By do, I mean, we're going to talk about it. See if we have any early angles. ACC Football Media Day is going on right now on the heels of SEC. Before that, Mountain West and Big 12. There's been a lot of rumors about the Big 12 trying to jump the gun on both the SEC and the Big 10 if either one of those conferences wanted Clemson or Florida State.
Wow.
So I don't know what they're going to do. I know there's big penalties if Florida State and Clemson leave the ACC, but is this the beginning of the end for the ACC, which I never would have believed the Pac-12 going back 100-plus years would break up. I would think the same thing about the ACC, but now, Alex, all bets are off.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, I read something about Florida State a while back, and I mean, it kind of makes sense for them as they're trying to make their name in this football landscape.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, headline, Florida State Clemson suing ACC over fee to exit the conference. Penalties to depart would result in a forfeiture of $572 million in revenue. All right. So they're going to have to pay big numbers, but maybe not if the whole conference gets fractured. And we were just talking to a dude who works in Memphis, Rob Fisher. We were talking about Grizzlies basketball because the Grizz are playing the Heat tonight in the NBA Summer League title game, UNLVtickets.com. 5 o'clock start. And in a lot of ways, the Memphis football program is like the UNLV football program. It wins and it has won a lot more than UNLV football. But a lot of the football expansion stuff on the periphery, I think, is more about what you've done for me lately, which anyone out there who's like, UNLV football? Like, they just had their, you know, first winning year in forever. Like, why are they there? I don't know. Why is Tulane there?
Oh,
Tulane
right.
Stinks. Tulane has had 5 good years. Our coach left. So we're going to find out if they're a one-coach program. But I'll throw it out for the – I'm going to be consistent with this too. For the audience in Reno, if I'm Nevada fans, and the school does have some limitations and they're getting more funding, you know, they really got to beef up the support for the football program. But Nevada over the last 15 years has been better than Memphis, has been better than UNLV in football, has been better than Tulane. But they ain't getting mentioned. So very much it's like what have we seen from your football program the last 2 or 3 years?
That's very true. Because Nevada was very consistent for a while there in football, but not as of late.
Are you afraid to say it? It's the Reno hour, but you can still be true to your Rebel Nation. Adam Hill is. Not that he's being true to Rebel Nation, but he doesn't pull any punches when it comes to the Wolfpack and the dislike. It's good. It's good for the rivalry. I love both cities. Love both cities.
You do love Reno.
I love ESPN Reno, and I love ESPN Las Vegas. I actually do have a good time when I go up to Northern Nevada. I got no problem with it.
I've never had a bad time in Reno, so you have a good point.
Actually,
there.
I have. I almost got 86 from a bar because some psycho lady went off on me, and then in her bipolar personality, 20 minutes later, she's doing some kind of freaking show for us. So not that kind of show. No, we actually... I was in a bar downtown. It's closed now. So, karma. Messed with the wrong people. I don't want to see bars close. But, yeah, bartender's in there. And I think she was hopped up on something, so I don't think I'm going to get in a lawsuit since I'm not mentioning her name. But anyway, I'm taking pictures of the place. I got a bunch of bras hanging on the ceiling, as many places do. And she's like, no pictures! People in here might not want pictures. Okay, meanwhile, I'm pointed to the ceiling. No one's face is in it.
Right.
And she's like, give me the phone. I'm going to delete the photos. And she said it like four times. And I'm like, all right, I'll delete the photos. And then some fat guy in the corner is like, what's going on over here? And I swear to God, 30 minutes later, she's like, hey, I used to do a show at a club. And she's like juggling pins and doing a light show and spinning stuff. I'm like, what? I was getting 86 and now I'm getting a show. Reno, you're crazy.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
I mean, just ridiculous, unscheduled bar story there. I don't know what I'm doing. I got excited. I should not drink coffee during the show. I've talked about this before. Too much sugar, too much creamer, full Cofield Cornholio. Remember that from Beavis and Butthead? I'm going to pull the shirt off my head and just start going around the studio, but I've calmed down.
And we're live in Reno right now. You're trying to set me up.
Well, I was. I mean, if you want to speak ill of the Northerners, then you can do that. But you do what you want. It's your brand you're building.
It's tough because I love the Rebels. I am a diehard alumni.
You were a cheerleader for UNLV.
But I know so many people who went to UNR because it is.
Yeah.
Such a popular school to go to.
I don't know how I think about them at that point. I have to think about it for a little bit. I found out one of my SO, significant other's friend, went there. I didn't know that. She's a teacher. It's worked out for her, so it was a good move.
Good. My boss from Aviators that runs the game production at Aviators, he went to Reno.
You guys get along?
Yes. Very good. And
sure.
We also know the MC up for the Reno Aces that play against the Aviators, and he's a great guy. He comes down and does some games with us when they play against.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
I'm part of the rivalry, but I try to remain objective. It's not my rivalry. I didn't grow up here. I didn't go to either school, but I try to be respectful of it. And I really do mean, this is not a troll, I really do mean that. Nevada football fans should look at where they are right now, be extremely pissed off because it's fallen off, and a lot of it was because of Jay Norvell pulling what he pulled at the last minute, and it's got to be really annoying. It's got to be really annoying to look at college football realignment or, as I said earlier, I would explain, but there is a notion out there, and it's just an idea. I don't think they're going to do it, but there was an idea of a big 80 where there'd be 80 Division I college football teams. There'd be a Division II. They could still be FBS teams. But in the 80, there would be relegation for the teams from 70 to 80, which means that the next group, 80 to 90, potentially could move up.
Okay.
Now, would they have relegation in the first 70 teams and move teams down and potentially out of, Division I? They probably won't do that. But there could be a swing division from 70 to 90. And if that's the case, then you would hope, as we were talking about, Memphis would be in. I would hope for Nevada to be in. I don't know right now if they're only looking at the now that they would be in. Vegas folks would at least like to be on the dance floor in the 80. But there's also a risk. If you don't put the money in your program, you don't recruit, you don't win, then you move down.
So kind of like soccer.
Yes.
Each year matters and moving.
Yes.
I don't hate it. Don't hate it.
But there also should be a penalty if you are. Because the problem with relegation down in the first 70 is that I think you're not going to rank 1 to 70 and then have like, hey, the top division has 1 through 9 or 10, and it's just all, big banger programs. You'd probably reorganize it regionally, so then you would actually have something that looked like the Pac-12 or a Big 12 West. So you're not having UCLA travel to wherever, Maryland or Rutgers.
The travel is the craziest part in all of this.
It is to a certain extent. It is interesting. I think travel miles logged. USC got a break. Don't quote me on the exact numbers here. I think UCLA this year, the travel is 22,000 miles, and UCLA is like 12,500.
Whoa.
just how the schedule fell, or maybe they wanted UCLA to have a little tougher time and the glamour program, the glory program, to have a little softer touch.
Makes sense. A lot of people are down on UCLA this year.
Well, you know, but then the logic there is like, so then you're going to completely stick it to them? Pound them?
Right.
I will say, did you travel with the UNLV football team every once in a while?
I did a couple times.
So it's a good setup.
Yes, it's a good setup, very good setup, right? For the football team.
They have their own plane. Oh, no, I sensed a little jealousy there. Uh-oh.
No jealousy. I'm just saying, for other sports, it is a lot tougher. But
Yes, it is. Yes. The football team has a pretty good. Men's basketball team has a good. Women's basketball team is getting better. Travel. I haven't been on a jumbo jet with, like, you know, Ohio State or USC. I'm not saying it's easy to travel across the country, but it's probably a little easier with programs like that. And it is once a week. I don't know how many. I'd have to look and see if they screwed anyone with back-to-back long trips. I mean, let's not act like babies here. You know, if it's a 5.5-hour flight, the team should be okay. I would go a day early.
Yes.
The normal, I wouldn't go the day before. But for all the people out there, I personally have flown from New Jersey to Vegas or New Jersey to L.A. I survived. Now, did I play a football game the next day? No, so I don't have exact evidence, but I think the travel will be pretty cushy. So that shouldn't be, you know, the biggest complaint in this whole thing. Speaking of USC, so you guys have Games of the Year out down at South Point, and Alex does a lot of work with South Point Studios. She is the company today. And we have a great game here.
Yes.
On September 1st, after the really busy August 31st, that's when UNLV opens. September 1st at the Owl is LSU and USC. Now, on this show, I often talk about events that come to town, sporting events. Some can be not such a hot ticket. There's a lot of events that come here that assume locals are coming out. Can't guarantee that. Like the soccer games here, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. The first soccer game for Copa, not so hot. The middle one, about 45,000. The last one did really well. But, I mean, I've seen some football games here, you know, out-of-town football games meeting up here, and the crowd has been dreadful. Even, like, the Pro Bowl games here a few years ago.
Oh, that was bad.
There's probably about 35,000 in there. So you got to pick the right events. You got to market it right. I got an email today, and everyone in the media probably got it, about there's a new sponsor. Modelo is going to sponsor the Kickoff Classic here in Vegas at the Owl. And a select number of tickets are available. Wait, what? USC and LSU, select number of tickets. The building holds 57, and then add in the suites, it's 65,000. What do you mean a select number of tickets? They got most of the tickets sold.
Wow.
So.
I mean, two big-name coaches in Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly.
Yep.
But some question marks on both rosters.
Regionally, USC should travel, and LSU, you know, is going to travel. And who doesn't want to come to Vegas, especially if you – I like the state. Well, I like New Orleans. I don't know if I like. I've never been to Baton Rouge. I'm sure it's okay. But no. To come to Vegas, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that should do very well. And like you said, select number of tickets. But to your point, I mean, the championships always, they've done very well here. Mm-hmm. So end of the year, the buildup, been packed house there. But that's a really good one to kick off the season.
121. Select seats, 121 apiece. Upstairs. Popular game. Hot ticket. Line on the game. What are we looking at? LSU's favored.
LSU is favored by 6, I believe.
Yes. Game 91. Can I read sheets anymore? Let me pull the sheet up real close. Yeah. On the board. I'll put in 91-534. No, that's an old. I looked at UCLA. That's 18. Wrong number.
That's because this is just games of the year.
Yeah.
You were looking at just that first week.
I was.
Opening
no,
week,
no, I was looking at games of the year. I was looking at games of the year. I didn't have a first week in front of me, but it is 6. I was trying to be a smart ass with the number, and then I was like, "Oh, that's UCLA."
Yeah, that's.
So, LSU does have a lot back. USC will have a question at quarterback. I can't wait to follow that one with Miller Moss and the UNLV transfer, Jaden Maiava.
Mm-hmm.
But very big draw. You guys had a discussion about this, about games of the year. down at South Point. Anything really strike you that people were all over or stuff that moved? Anything get hit hard?
There is a game with UNLV on there that did move a little bit against Boise. Took the points. No, laid the points. I don't know. That one did move a little
bit.
Went
from 7-6.
7-6.
So obviously, well, it's not always obvious, but the number has moved towards UNLV.
And then
interesting. That's Boise here at the Al, October 25th. That could change. Well, it's around 7, so I don't think it's going to change massively from here. But it could change based on some early season results on both teams with their quarterbacks.
Yes.
Because Boise has a battle, and obviously UNLV has not named a quarterback yet.
The other team that jumped out to me was Texas, because now they aren't going to have any easy games, right, moving to the SEC. So
Texas
they did
is
take
three
the points
against Michigan on September 7th.
That is a great game.
What would you do?
Right there. Texas.
Research still has to be done.
That's right.
But just on the surface, this doesn't mean we're betting. Texas 3 against Michigan, and is that the big house?
I'd take the points.
I would too. But I want to get some more vibes. This is why I'm not a pro bettor, because I know pro bettors like Brad Powers has, you know, 700 games in already, because he wants the edge. But yeah, Texas returns a lot of experience, and I personally think there is going to be a significant drop-off. I think everyone assumes, like, oh, they stayed in-house. Sharon Moore, they're good. You know, oh, J.J. McCarthy left. You see that offensive line last year? You see where they got drafted? You see that defensive backfield? I got to see it all up close. They were really good last year. Really good, Michigan. And I don't know if they make an instant transition. I mean, how much respect do we have to give Jim Harbaugh for what he did in college football this time around?
A lot.
I say a lot, yes.
But I would say if it is a pretty nice oiled machine, right? The first year shouldn't be too bad. They could just keep it going. He has all the systems in place. Might take a little time for the wheels to fall off, right? I mean, that's not always the case, because sometimes you do see a drastic change right away. And without their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, who they have had there for...
ever?
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
I'm groaning and grunting on some of the other lines already.
What are you seeing? What's jumping
Nebraska
out to you?
6 against Colorado. At home. Hello! I got a lot of guff the last couple weeks when I said Colorado could start 0-7, 2-5 at best. Like, oh, no, Nebraska, they'll tuck in. They're not beating Nebraska. Relax. And they're almost a touchdown favorite in that one. September 13th weekend at the South Point. Kansas State, not played at the South Point, but that weekend, South Point line. Kansas State 8 against Arizona. Kansas State's very good. I also think Arizona is going to surprise some people in the Big 12. I think Brent Brennan's an excellent coach. And Noah Fafita, the little guy, is really good at quarterback for Arizona.
Agreed.
You have Florida State and Memphis starred. I don't know why. I'm just taking it as a sign. Florida State 16. That is September 14th weekend. 16 against Memphis. Wow.
You know why that was starred? Because that is could be a very meaningful game for those two.
Well, Mike Norvell was at Memphis.
And in regards to making it into the playoffs, right? If
gigantic for Memphis. If they could pull off a big win like that. Yep. How about the Civil War? Not allowed to call it that anymore. Okay. How about the Civil War? Oregon 23 against Oregon State. That seems large. But Oregon State does have a new coach. Their quarterback did bolt for the Big Ten, which he should have done in the first place when he committed. But story for another day.
Oregon is in the conversation. A lot of people have Ohio State and Georgia, 1-2. And then a lot of people really like Oregon this year.
No, not fired up at all. Not fired up at all for college football! And then that week as well, look at headlines. Get down to the South Point. They got all the numbers up. 5 o'clock hours on the way.